always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A jury in Washington, D.C. resumes deliberations in the morning to determine how much Rudy Giuliani will have to pay for defaming two election workers in Georgia. He did not testify in his own defense in the trial.
The decision for Giuliani to not testify is significant in the sense that he has been speaking outside this courthouse. The judge who's overseeing this trial has admonished him for speaking outside this courthouse, has said that he is making more defamatory comments. And it's significant that he's talking outside and not inside. Inside, he's under oath.
ABC's Catherine Falders. 50 months in federal prison, the sentence meted out to former top FBI counterintelligence official Charles McGonigal for violating sanctions on Russia by working for a Russian oligarch. A judge in Des Moines sentenced Keith Eric Jones to 16 years in prison in a drag racing crash last year that killed a 4-year-old boy. This is ABC News. Ousted as House Speaker, Kevin McCarthy said his goodbyes on Thursday.
McCarthy telling the House he had no regrets in actions he took that led to his own party voting to remove him from the job.
Do not be fearful if you believe your philosophy brings people more freedom.
Kevin McCarthy passing almost nothing in the House that received the Senate or President's okay, except avoiding a government default and shutdown. Two actions that angered his own party enough to remove him as Speaker. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Urban bull, an 800-pound longhorn steer spotted trotting along a commuter rail line in Newark, New Jersey.
I thought maybe it was a Red Bull's PR stunt or something like that, considering the stadium was right there. But he was just trotting along.
No trains hit it, and it didn't trample any humans. Police wound up corralling the beast and tranquilizing it before it was moved to an animal sanctuary in rural northwest New Jersey. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden plans to return to Milwaukee next Wednesday to talk about his economic policy plan and highlight recent small business gains in Wisconsin. It's not clear where the president will be or for how long. University of Wisconsin Regents are changing course and voting for a deal they rejected Saturday. Among other things, the universities get employee pay raises in exchange for downsizing diversity offices. Amy Bogus changed her vote after assurances that diversity is still key to the system's strategic plan.
We will hold our feet to the fire on this, and by adopting this resolution, it does not reduce or eliminate that accountability for them or for us.
The deal also paves the way for a new engineering building on the Madison campus. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Packers take on the Buccaneers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers had a run through practice outdoors, but missing was their most productive running back this season, A.J. Dillon. It turns out Dillon suffered a broken thumb on the last drive against the Giants. He revealed what happened to reporters.
Sometimes for broken thumbs, they have to go in there and put something in. Is that going to be required or no?
We're just taking it day by day. Just trying to see, how I'm feeling as it's going. And, I got hit, just routine play. It's football, just, you know, that's how it goes. Got hit with a helmet, lined up the right way, it just aren't right enough, whatever. And then we called another run play after that.
Aaron Jones is practicing, but still not sure if he's ready to play on that sprained MCL on his left knee. Baseball, the Brewers made a trade with the Kansas City Royals. They picked up right-hander Taylor Clark and send right-hand pitcher Ryan Brady and infielder Cam Devaney to Kansas City. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds increasing in the overnight, lows in the lower 30s, rain developing as we get closer to sunrise, but the better chance of rain is going to be into Friday, especially Friday afternoon. High temperatures warming up into the lower 40s, rain looking likely Friday night. It's 33 at our studios.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday. That makes it Friday Eve, a happier, happy hour indeed. Plenty of time for your calls today, 844-967-2789. You are the special sauce that makes this show great.
you, Denny.
Dom, a couple different directions we can go, but I don't have source material, just sort of a general inclination that something's not right in America when U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, in some way, shape, or form, is driving the national immigration narrative, the Ukraine funding narrative, and the Israeli narrative all in one intransigent step.
That's a little concerning.
I mentioned, saw U.S. Senator Ron Johnson in Whitewater most recently, at least in person. You know, saw him on, what was it, the Caitlin Collins the other day, too. You know, still looking for the books that the fake electors are in. I think we gave you the encompassing history right here on the Devil's Advocates. We made the case that Ron was unable to make. It's not a strong case, but anyways.
No, it's not.
Ron has been tying the funding of Israel and also Ukraine to more money for the wall, new border policies. And when we asked, when I specifically asked Brian Stile in this case, Congressman, what's that look like? More like what Trump did. A little harsher. A little more, you know, child separate-y, as I understood their avocation that day, Dom. But this is where we're at. And I draw some parallel to what's happening here in the great state of Wisconsin, Dom. We saw the changed vote on the UW Regents, by the UW Regents, which changed the outcome, right? They had rejected the terrorist offerings of the Republicans by a 9-8 vote this Saturday. And as of yesterday, while we were on the air, I believe the vote was 11-6 to extend raises, to build the engineering building, hell, to even throw $72 million at the UW Whitewater campus at the bequest of Speaker Robin Voss.
His alma mater.
But it was really about sticking it to DEI programs. Pragmatically, I understand why the Regents changed their votes. Hell, three of them haven't even been confirmed yet. I bet that threat was made, you know, just implied somewhere along the line. Let it be known, if you want to continue being a regent, vote correctly on this. I'm just throwing that out there for your consideration, Dom. But I see parallels, because I think these are terroristic threats coming from the U.S. Senate, coming from the person that is Ron Johnson. To tie these things together makes them almost unpalatable. But here we are negotiating with terrorists. Once again, we, the Democratic leadership in the Senate, Chuck Schumer. In fact, I believe we have some sound. I know there are continuing resolutions that are being put on the table currently. But this, I believe, and I don't mean to mislead the audience, but this is about funding Ukraine, funding Israel, and negotiating with terrorists in some way, shape, or form in the person of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and Mike Lee. They may not be the negotiators, but they are the intransigent forces behind the current American narrative. So let's play some of what Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, let's not forget, Democrats have the majority in the Senate. Let's play Schumer, if we could. I don't have where we start, so play the first one, I'll catch you.
For the information of all senators, after we finish today, the Senate will return on Monday.
Return on Monday, because they're going to negotiate like hell all weekend, Dom, and hopefully they have a framework of a deal. That's my understanding. More of Chuck Schumer. Please play it for the kind folks, Nate.
That will give negotiators from the White House, Senate Democrats, Senate Republicans, a time to work through the weekend in an effort to reach a framework agreement.
And I believe we've got more from Schumer, so play the more. Eventually, we get to a little bit of the context. Keep playing it.
Members need to be here next week. We have to get this done. We hope to come to an agreement. But no matter what, members should be aware that we will vote on a supplemental proposal next week. This might be one of the most difficult things we have ever had to work through, but we all know that so much hangs on our success. We know the world is watching. We know autocrats like Putin and Xi are hoping for us to fail. So we need to try with everything we have to get the job done.
And work through the intransigence, what I have called a little terroristic. And I believe Robin Voss has done the same sort of thing to the UW Regents here. But the end net result here in the state of Wisconsin is like 35,000 UW system employees got raises. And we've got, you know, capital funding for needed projects. We're going to have a lot more engineers being cranked out at this engineering school. But ultimately, the terrorist won, Dom. And I'm not keeping score. I'm not fighting the battle just for the sake of fighting the battle. But my concern is, of course, here in the state of Wisconsin, is once Robin Voss has had the success once, it's coming down every term. What's the new demand that individually the Speaker of the Assembly gets to negotiate? Because the raises had already been approved by the full legislature.
Right.
Robin Voss singularly was holding back 35,000 people's raises for his own specific agenda against DEI. And, you know, now on a federal level, we got Ron Johnson doing the very same damn thing effectively with this whole, you know, build it our way. Is Mexico going to pay for it, Ron? I still want to figure that out. You know, I want to get those books cleaned up, because the last guy promised me Mexico was paying for the wall. And when we've had Ron Johnson on this show, Dom, I feel like he specifically has said, well, I perceive that more as a virtual wall, not a real wall, not a, you know, hardened wall, because geographically, not all the areas can be walled. But now, the democracy of Ukraine and the support we have traditionally shown to our ally Israel is all being held at bay by the intransigence of solve this problem to our satisfaction, our terms, right now. Merry Christmas. just like Robin Voss would do it, right, Tom?
It's a seemingly a common thread throughout the Republican philosophy. A little log rolling, perhaps. You know, we're talking off air, Crudy. Is this moving forward? Is this progress? You know, it's governance, man. You know, I think it's just governance. It's you got to get something done. You know, does everybody get everything they want? No, of course not. That's what compromise is about.
But
it's governance.
Should you be mixing these metaphors? Should,
well, no, I don't think so. But you know, you got to play ball. You got to deal with the cards that are dealt. You got to work with people across the aisle. I mean, the numbers are what the numbers are, and that's just the reality of it, man. And you can do nothing. That's also an option, but that's not governance. Anybody can do nothing.
Now, here's the question I would have for the audience, Tom, because I know most of your opinions. 844-967-2789. What if inadvertently, by forcing this quote-unquote immigration reform, and it's not what we would have, it's not going to be thoughtful, it's not going to be comprehensive, but it's going to be something, because I know the will is there to fund the efforts of Zelensky and the Ukrainians, or at least I think it is. I know it is on the Democratic side of the aisle. And I believe there's a lot of pro-Israel sentiment still in the Congress on, you know, both the Senate and the House side. So I think we'll get there. But if we did, through these terroristic tactics, could Ron Johnson inadvertently be solving one of Joe Biden's biggest electoral weaknesses? If this quote-unquote solution is forced down our throats, if through his actions, Ron Johnson says Joe Biden, and they've wanted Joe Biden negotiating. They want to impeach Mayorkas. They don't want Mayorkas negotiating the terms of this deal. They want Joe Biden at the table. Well, if Joe makes the deal and Ron Johnson, you know, again, he may not be a direct negotiator, but if they sign off on this deal, Don, you still calling it Joe Biden's open borders?
You can't, can you?
You cannot. I mean, kind of you cannot.
Political football if you do that. A little bit here, Crudy, from Reuters. The U.S. Senate will vote on military aid for Ukraine and Israel next week as negotiations continue over changes to U.S. border security policy that would be tied to the funding. Schumer said, we heard some of that sound. Senate will delay its holiday break. We know that President Joe Biden has been urging lawmakers to pass a supplemental aid package to provide $50 billion in new security aid as it fights Russia, as well as $14 billion for Israel as it wages war against Hamas in Gaza. Republican House of Representatives Speaker Mike Johnson, as well as Republicans in the Democratic Majority Senate, have repeatedly said they will only vote for the aid if it's paired with new controls for the U.S.-Mexico border. Any deal reached with the Senate, which Democrats control 51-49, would also need to win the approval of the House, which Republicans control 221-213, before passing into law. House lawmakers left Washington as scheduled on Thursday to begin their holiday recess. We're making progress, and the White House is engaged, which is good. Everything is encouraging, Senator John Thune, the number two Republican in the Senate, told reporters, cautioning right now they're still talking concepts. Cotton, though, said that the parties remain very far apart. The Democrats have not put their proposals in writing and have not addressed a Republican demand to curtail Biden's parole authority, which Biden has used to allow hundreds of thousands of migrants to enter the U.S. legally. Biden said earlier this month that he was open to significant concessions on border security to strike a deal with Republicans, but some Democrats have criticized the White House proposals reported by Reuters and other news outlets that would limit access to U.S. asylum and step up deportations. Got some asylum changes coming again.
Come back with us. I don't think progressives are going to like this deal.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Yonke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County.
stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on The Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Join us on the lines 844-967-2789.
Dom, this going a different direction, but the Moms for Liberty lady, you remember her? Lives down in Florida.
Lady?
Threesome.
Yeah.
Don't say threesome. You know, you can't say gay. Is it okay to say threesome in Florida? Just wondering.
I don't know, man. A little hypocrisy there.
Just a little bit from the coverage here at Politico. Moms for Liberty co-founder refuses to resign from the Sarasota School Board. A little of the coverage, Dom. Tallahassee, Dateline Tallahassee, that's never good. A co-founder of the conservative parents group Moms for Liberty, Bridget Ziegler, refused to resign from the Sarasota School Board Tuesday night despite intense pressure from the board and dozens of community members to step down. All four board members besides Ziegler, including two who were endorsed by Governor Ron DeSantis. So even the DeSantis endorsed colleagues on this board passed a resolution calling for her to vacate her position amid revelations surrounding her personal life that emerged as her husband, Florida GOP chair Christian Ziegler, is investigated for an alleged rape. Yet Bridget Ziegler remained defiant in the face of public admonishment from the board, which has no legal authority to remove her.
Good luck at that.
So, you know, kind of like taking the Fred Preen approach, right? Fred Preen, the DNR secretary here in the state of Wisconsin, or at least the board member that wouldn't leave. You can't make me leave. You and what army, right?
You can't.
Here's what Ziegler said. I am, pardon me, I like to clear my throat before I do the quoting. I am disappointed. I serve on another public board, and this issue did not come up, and we were able to forge ahead with the business of the board, said Ziegler at the meeting, referencing her position on the board that manages Walt Disney Corporation Special Land District.
Right.
The one that was set up by Ron DeSantis.
Yes, yes.
They're okay with her personal life. And I don't know if you saw it over at the Washington Post, Dom.
Well, but I would actually agree with her in that regard. What someone does in the privacy of their own home or someone else's home or whatever, consenting adults, two or three or whatever, 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 even if you're a raging hypocrite by, you know, what you say in front of the camera and how you live your life, I guess that's your call, certainly. But why step down? They can't make her step down. She's not involved in any, she's not accused of doing any sort of assault whatsoever.
And no, so but her husband is, and it wasn't exactly consensual.
No doubt. And that's going to play itself out. But if my understanding of this, I mean, why are they saying that because your husband's accused of rape and assault that you need to step down? That's not what they're saying.
Well,
right?
She is the founder of a family values sort of organization. The Moms for Liberty
okay,
is all
this, okay. Fair enough. That's Moms for Liberty. That's not the Sarasota School Board. You know what I'm saying? These are different issues, different things. And come on, this is Florida we're talking about. There's lots of LGBTQ people in Florida. Perhaps some are leaving.
Not Sarasota.
Yes, there are, man. I used to go to Sarasota all the time, man. Siesta Key Beach. There's a new Lido Beach, Lido Keys. I mean, come on, man. I know Sarasota. There's lots of alternative lifestyles everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. Some are out there with us. Some just live it. Some don't care. Some maybe are a little ashamed and they hide it. Some are entirely hypocritical about it all and do whatever they can for a little bit of money, a little bit of power, a little notoriety, maybe a little action on the side. But it has nothing to do what they do in their private lives. Zero to do with the Sarasota School Board.
Well, let's talk about the husband then, because he's the Florida GOP chair, and there's coverage here at the Washington Post. I want to get to this one as well. While there's time, Dom, Republican leaders in Florida are expressing outrage over a reported proposal that party chairman Christian Ziegler, now he's the accused rapist, be paid as much as $2 million before he'll step down amid a sexual assault investigation. Ziegler is battling to keep his powerful position despite dual scandals, one of which has also ensnared his wife, Bridget Ziegler, the Moms for Liberty co-founder, who sits on the Sarasota County School Board. She ain't leaving. The couple, whose political influence has grown along the ascent of the Florida GOP, have been asked to quit their jobs, even by friends and allies, as well as political opponents. Each has refused. Party members say a buyout for Christian was floated more than a week ago. Florida Politics first reported it on Thursday, saying the demand may have been as high as $2 million. That's like your bar tab, dude. Ziegler.
He's going to have to, you know, pay taxes and pay attorneys. So when it really comes down to it, it's not all in pocket.
Ziegler, in a reply to a text message, said the buyout report was 100% not true.
And that they wanted $4 million.
Yeah, they haven't paid him. Michael Thompson, a member of Florida's Lee County Republican Executive Committee, said two individuals are trying to broker a resolution on behalf of Ziegler in advance of a meeting Sunday where the committee will be asked to vote him out of his chairmanship. My first thought when I heard it was I laughed, and so did the person who told me it was being discussed or asked. Thompson said, there will never be a buyout. Ziegler's annual salary as chairman's $120K, Dom. He was elected to the position by party members in January for a two-year term. So how do you go from $120K a year to $2 million?
18 years of service? I don't know.
Well,
it's a multiple of sales, man. Call it 20.
Dominic, Governor Ron DeSantis, all members of his cabinet, the Speaker of the Florida House, and the state Senate president, along with U.S. Senator Rick Scott, the Skeletor guy, and others, have called on Ziegler to step down. Rep. Vern Buchanan, who hired Ziegler for his congressional staff in D.C. when he was first elected in 06, also said this week, Ziegler should resign. Can we agree Ziegler might need to resign, Dom? But let me read on just a bit. The 40-year-old chairman has refused despite the increasing pressure. In a statement to the party earlier this month, he denied the rape allegation against him and called the interaction in question consensual, you know, like Trump does. He just tic-tacked up. She just let him do it.
I mean, when you're a big star, when you're the head of the GOP in the state of Florida, you can do anything.
Dom, it involves a woman with whom he and his wife have acknowledged having a three-way sexual encounter. Don't say three-way. The woman claims Christian Ziegler raped her after she tried to cancel another meeting with the couple when she learned Bridget would not be there. She's just not that into you, dude. She wasn't doing it for you. Sarasota police say their investigation is continuing. And on Tuesday, Bridget Ziegler said she wasn't leaving the school board. We already told you that. So coverage at the Washington Post. No comments, Dom?
You know, freaking hypocrites. Number one, don't be assaulting, raping people. Bad. You should, yes, definitely go away. And yes, you do your time.
Even
in
if
court.
You're the former president of the United States?
Well, again, that's the party, right? Why would they all of a sudden have an issue with this? I mean, Trump was civilly convicted of rape.
I believe it was sexual battery, but please continue.
And he is the leading candidate. And he's also from Florida. Should he step down from his goal to be president again? Should he step down, Republicans?
He could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and he wouldn't lose a voter. No.
Apparently Ziegler couldn't.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Your phone calls could be next. It's the Friday Eve edition, 844-96-PARTY.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A jury in Washington, D.C. resumes deliberations in the morning to determine how much Rudy Giuliani will have to pay for defaming two election workers in Georgia.
He did not testify in his own defense in the trial.
The decision for Giuliani to not testify is significant in the sense that he has been speaking outside this courthouse. That the judge who's overseeing this trial has admonished him for speaking outside this courthouse, has said that he is making more defamatory comments. And it's significant that he's talking outside and not inside. Inside, he's under oath.
ABC's Catherine Falders. 50 months in federal prison, the sentence meted out to former top FBI counterintelligence official Charles McGonigal for violating sanctions on Russia by working for a Russian oligarch. A judge in Des Moines sentenced Keith Eric Jones to 16 years in prison in a drag racing crash last year that killed a four-year-old boy. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's biggest business lobbying group is suing the state Justice Department over an open records request. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce asked for records between the Justice Department and the law firm they hired to go after PFAS manufacturers in March of 2022. They finally heard back in September of this year that the request had been denied. The department's policy says it should take about 10 days to decide whether or not a records request should be granted. All of Wisconsin's U.S. House Republicans voted for the impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden. The vote merely extends the House investigation into President Biden. It doesn't impeach him or remove him from office. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you. You've made a little news. You have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds increasing in the overnight, lows in the lower 30s. Rain developing as we get closer to sunrise, but the better chance of rain is going to be into Friday, especially Friday afternoon. High temperatures warming up into the lower 40s. Rain looking likely Friday night. Currently 35 degrees.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than BugTussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, BugTussle has you covered. BugTussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. BugTussle, we're out there because you're out there.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday that makes it Friday Eve edition. Happier happy hour rolling through it. Plenty of time for your calls this hour, 844-967-2789. Also appreciate when you text in. And I'm appearing on another fine program this evening, 8:30 Central Time. I'm going on the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Pete invited me.
He's a cool cat.
I was kind of a jerk to him the last time.
Wally Crudy, I mean, so you're in normal form. That's all right, man. People warm up to you after a while.
Well, I accepted an interview request for, in the middle of the Packer game in Monday Night Football, and then I rescinded my acceptance. I gave him most of the day to find a different guest. But anyways, I owe him one. So I'm doing it after the Badger basketball game.
What if it goes to overtime?
And then I'm going to watch the Badger volleyball game a little bit later tonight. They're playing in the Final Four. I have become a fan. That is an exciting team, just saying. You can be a fan of ours, and you can have your own fan club when you call us at 844-967-2789. That also works for texting. And we got a few texts here, Dom. I'd like to share a few with the audience. Here is a couple of the thoughts. It would be very nice if the Dems took a shot at Wisconsin's first CD. We let Paul Ryan's little stepbrother or whoever that guy is last cycle. That'd be Brian Style. Remember the Iron Stash? Whatever happened to that guy? One of the texters, Wes from Middleton, asked. Oh, he's out there in the world. I see him texting or tweeting occasionally. Someone texted in, Dom, from the 920 texter on the WMDX. If someone wrote a biography on Moms for Liberty founder, the Ziegler lady, Moms for Liberty would try to ban it. Surprised. Surprised, but not surprised. They support Republicans. They always seem to be at the center of a sexual scandal in recent years. Yeah, lots, why is it? You know, they always say we're the ones, Dom. What's the old saying? Republicans close the shades even though they don't need to, and Democrats don't close the shades even though we should.
They should. Nice.
And I'm most impressed by this. A haiku in honor of Robin Voss from one of our fair listeners.
Wow. All right.
Well, actually, it's labeled a haiku for the Regents. Wisconsin's board meets, negotiating with Voss, terrorism's grip. I didn't count the syllables. I'm trusting that that's an accurate haiku. Nate's nodding, so I'm taking it on the
nod. All right. Nate, what's going on? Thank you, Nate.
That is a proper haiku. I prefer phone calls to haiku, but, you know, whatever floats your boat around here. 844-967-2789. Dom, you never write me poetry. Bill from Oconomowoc, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Bill.
Hi. Good evening. So I really value your guys' opinion, and I love your opinion. I know this is off topic a little bit, but I think with Hunter taking the bulls by the horn, do you think the Republicans already are regretting what they did? Because when Hunter stood on those steps and says, we're going to do it publicly, and then they bring up Marchout or bring up Jordan, who's 500 days late for his subpoena, what's your thoughts on Hunter taking charge? I just can't wait to hear your opinion. I'll hang up. Thank you.
Well, appreciate you listening, Bill. I think it was an excellent PR move. I think it was masterful. My understanding is he did tell his dad, he did give the president a heads up that it was his intent to go out and make a public statement before the Congress. But I absolutely. And I believe to a degree, I mean, this guy was a ne'er-do-well, no doubt, broke some laws. And the laws specifically were tax evasion. And he owned a gun for like 11 days, and he was an admitted drug user. And no one, like, in the history of ever has ever been charged with that crime, seemingly. And I'm not, you know, the historian.
I believe he has requested that to be thrown out. So he's challenging that as well. That was recent.
Well, of course. But I mean, you of course challenge the legal process, but these were already, you know, lined up to be a plea deal. And even I said, seems like a sweetheart deal, but this is the opposite. Now he's being criminally indicted, criminally prosecuted, perhaps because his last name is Biden and Weiss felt a little pressure, but whatever. But the impeachment behind closed doors, but I got to have your testimony. I mean, you would not compel me. You'd have to drag my ass into court. I'd have to be Steve Bannon. I mean, is Steve Bannon gone to jail yet?
Not yet.
He was convicted on contempt of Congress. I'd take the Bannon approach. And then I'd call Dad and say, hey, what about a little clemency?
Yeah.
No, for old time's sake, Dad. Now, it is my understanding Joe Biden claims he will not pardon his son. But a pardon is different from clemency.
You know, and I don't know how eager I would be if I were in Hunter Biden's position. And to your point, Bill, yes, I think it was time, certainly, probably past time. But, you know, maybe you wait until the circumstances are right to, you know, stand up and voice. You haven't heard a lot of audio from Hunter Biden, right? I mean, we do radio. We haven't played a lot of audio. There's not a lot of audio of Hunter Biden.
Why would he? He's not a governmental official.
Well, and he's under indictment. So you're going to put him under oath to what? Talk to Congress? Well, why would he say anything that might incriminate him? You know what I'm saying? So I think the whole thing is a ruse, and I think Hunter Biden called them on it. There's a piece from Philip Bump today, how dishonest Comer's Biden allegations are. We'll perhaps get to that, but let's get to more of your callers. 844-967-2789. Thanks for calling, Bill. Mark, you're next. Welcome. What do you got?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, well, thanks. It just occurred to me right now that based on what Dom said, remember Oliver North when he testified before Congress on his drug dealings and arms dealings and self-enrichment that he performed in a Iran-Contra thing, that his testimony before Congress got him off. I mean, that, you know, they couldn't prosecute him because they, you know, gave him some immunity when he testified. I mean, it is just good on Hunter Biden for saying, yeah, I'll be glad to testify, but I want to do it in public. Because if you want to do this behind closed doors, he knows darn well what the Republicans would try to do with him. They'd try to crucify him behind closed doors and give whatever nonsense they want to say in public. And you know, what recourse does he have? Because they've already done the damage. I mean, I wouldn't trust any of those Republicans as far as I could toss them, and that because they're men without honor and men and women without honor and any kind of moral compass whatsoever.
Yeah, but it's about, you know, it's a political game though, Mark. You know, they did it to your guy, so you're going to do it to their guy.
Isn't that how we govern these days, Dom? Tit for tat.
Seemingly.
An eye for an eye, right? It's all very biblical. 844-967-2789. Where you want to go next, fella?
Philip Bump. Let's go this out. They're talking about James Comer and the Biden allegations. A good piece. We posted it up on the Facebooks and on the Twitter at Devil Radio, Devil's Advocates Radio. Find it all on the socials. Philip Bump writes, over the past 24 hours, with a vote to formalize the impeachment investigation into President Biden looming in the House, Republican lawmakers have pressed to identify what exactly have been pressed. They have been pressed to identify what exactly they think Biden did. After all, a lot of Republicans, including Senator Charles Grassley, have publicly rejected the idea that evidence implicating Biden in wrongdoing exists. So what is their much-hyped evidence pointing at? Ask that question. Lawmakers answers varied dramatically, which is what happens when you ask a novice fisherman what he hopes to catch. Rep. Byron Donalds from Florida, for example, told CNN, quote, there's plenty of proof of Biden's wrongdoing, presumably involving the crimes Donalds identified during a speech from the House floor, quote, bribery, co-conspirator to the Foreign Agents Registration Act violations. We can go on and on, unquote. As Philip Bump writes, he did not go on and on. Asked by Fox News' Sean Hannity whether Republicans were looking at the investigation as a bribery scandal, a money laundering scandal, and an influence peddling scandal involving the president, the three Republicans running the impeachment inquiry offered different answers. House Ways and Means Chairman Jason Smith said it could be a multitude of numerous items. House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan said bribery, abuse of power, and obstruction of justice were what they were looking at.
My porridge is too cold.
House Oversight Chairman James Comer offered Hannity a briefer answer. Yes, that's what they were investigating, all of that at once, in obvious hopes that something incriminating might shake loose. On Tuesday morning, he appeared on Fox Business to speak with Maria Bartiromo, one of the primary boosters of this Republican effort. We've talked about the potential money laundering and bribery, Bartiromo said. What can you tell us about the evidence? Comer's response was a very useful distillation of the purported evidence and a good demonstration of why he and his allies are scrambling to figure out how to summarize their argument. Here's what he said and how it is misleading or dishonest. Curdy, I'm going to start and you can jump in. It's kind of a back and forth. Comer said this. We've got over $24 million that we know of. We think there's more. $24 million that the Bidens have taken in. Philip Bump responds, this is untrue. In August, the Washington Post looked at the payments on which Comer's committee has focused. There has been no significant new revelation from oversight since that point. We found that, yes, millions of dollars were paid to Joe Biden's son Hunter and his business partners, but most of that money went to people other than Hunter Biden, James Biden, or any other member of the Biden family. One assessment, quote, works out to be about $23 million in total payments from foreign sources, we wrote at the time. Of that, of the $23 million, $7.5 million can be fairly attributed as going to the Bidens, but virtually all of it went to Hunter Biden. None of it, we added, had been traced to Joe Biden. Since that point, the Oversight Committee has invested a great deal of energy highlighting payments from James Biden to his brother, from Hunter Biden's law firm to his father, in both cases, demonstrably, in repayment of loans. Notice, though, how this is all nonetheless becomes the Biden, shoving Joe Biden up against his son and brother in hopes that he'll be stained by the implication.
That's my worry, you know, when they say the devil's advocates. That's yeah. Both of us, man. I'm being stained here. I'll take over, Dom, because I don't want to be further stained. They've run them through a series of LLCs, and even though the bank said, serve no purposes, we call that a shell company. A shell company is a company that doesn't produce a good or service or have any assets or anything like that. And that August assessment, we being the Washington Post, also considered this issue of shell companies. Now, as a side note, isn't Comer using a shell company to hide some reporting real estate holdings? Very same thing he's accusing the president's son of doing. Anyways.
Weird how that happens.
But according to this article, Dom, most of the corporate entities formed by Hunter Biden and his partners did have stated purposes. One, for example, was the aforementioned Biden law firm. On Thursday morning, the Associated Press reported that Comer himself used the shell company for real estate purposes, something that some of the shell companies, air quotes, involved in his investigation also did. Bartiromo asked him about it. Comer claimed it was an example of the reporters' financial illiteracy.
Oh, yeah, so damn reporters. A little bit more here, Crudy. And here's what Comer said. They laundered the money down to Biden family members, 10 Biden family members. We say launder through these suspicious activity reports that were filed with Treasury. Six different banks accused the Bidens of money laundering. That's a serious crime, Maria. Philip Bump writes, it's true that money laundering is a serious crime. It is not demonstrably true that the six banks accused the Bidens of money laundering. The SAR reports centered on the Biden family, which here again primarily means Hunter Biden. House Democrats note that many of the SARs include erroneous and unfounded claims, and none focus on the president's. Republicans use the word launder specifically because it sounds nefarious. Shell companies laundering money sounds worse than Hunter Biden's law firm paid one of his kids a couple hundred bucks, which describes one of the 10 family members associated with direct access to the bank records provided, tells oversight that the Post that one of the president's grandchildren, then under 18, received $200 and $500 several months apart from an LLC that was Hunter Biden's law firm.
Well, there's the corruption. Paying for birthday and Christmas gifts. Those aren't business purposes. Come back. More devil's advocates.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Timeout.
Oh,
right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Our last segment of the day. If you've got something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789. Stick around the Maggie Dawn Show. Coming up next, the Clash London Calling Crudy released today, December 14th, 1979.
Oh,
damn.
I'm glad this song had a purpose, Dom, because I was trying to bump it and he said, sorry, no time.
Oh, no. Come on, man. I got to hear some. I mean, I remember having like a little boombox when I was a kid and you could, you know, record off the radio. Man, this is like one of the first songs I recorded.
What?
When I got
how long ago? 50 years?
What? 44 years ago?
When, what year did you say? I didn't listen.
79.
I first heard The Clash on Christmas Day, 1982. My cousin Patrick played it for me. I believe the tune was Should I Stay or Should I Go Now?
Oh, man, it's so good.
I had considered as an alternative to The Clash, My Milkshake Brings All the Boys to the Yard. You're damn right. It's better than yours.
That was a classic that will go down in history, I'm sure.
I drink your milkshake.
And you might wonder, why would I go there?
Why would you go there, Curtis?
I forget what the question was, but they were asking Virginia Fox, where she started shouting back, oh, I recall, the new speaker, Mike Johnson, was being introduced. Oh. And a press member was asking whether he had been part of the, you know, effectively the coup attempt.
Were you part of the rebellion?
Yeah, effectively, he was asking. And they started, like, booing and shouting down. But Virginia Fox, vociferously, is that a word? Loudly, sure. She was like, boo, I boo this. Like,
really, shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up. She literally yelled. I mean, that's a total legitimate question of the new speaker. I mean, look at what he's done. That's a fair question. You can answer it how he wants. But she sat next to him as everyone's about and booing and hissing a legitimate press question of the new mega mic yelling, boo, shut up. Shut up. What?
Well, Dom, here's what she had to say. You know, when she did speak. It's a doozy. Republican goes on a bizarre rant about the quality of Santa's glass of milk on the House floor.
Who's Santos or Santa's?
Santa's.
Santa's. The old guy with the beard.
Let me read a little bit. You'll know right, for man. Sure. He's.
I don't like Santos. Okay, go ahead.
The defense spending bill is coming down to the wire. Funding for Ukraine is becoming desperate, and the U.S. hasn't passed a bill to send financial aid to Israel since the attack on October 7th. But somehow, Republican lawmakers found time to do a passionate defense of milk. Huffington Post congressional reporter Jennifer Bendry wrote, and, you know, we're from the dairy state here in Wisconsin. I got nothing against milk per se, you know, with some strawberry quick in it. I'm not a big fan, actually, of the milk. But when it's cheese, I love it. But here's what Virginia Fox, Dom's girl, said. We want only the most nutritional option for Santa. Whole milk is the unsung hero of his Christmas journey. She explained that Santa Claus must drink whole milk to travel the whole globe in one night. Protein helps build and repair Santa's muscles. Hoisting heavy sacks of gifts up and down the chimney is no easy task. You see, she continued, it's not just the magic of the season that helps Santa deliver presents worldwide. It's also the fortified nutrients of whole milk. Reflecting on the Christmas traditions this year begs the question, if whole milk is a good option to fuel Santa's extraordinary Christmas Eve journey, then why isn't it an option for American school children in their lunchrooms? Because it makes them fatter.
Wow.
It makes them gain weight, and there are other options. Who's I know some people, like Fox? My kid's down for the whole milk, but he's also trying to gain weight. He's wrestling up like 20 pounds right now. He's trying to gain weight.
Yes. A lot of fat in whole milk. And I love whole milk, man. One of my favorite.
You worked on a farm, Dom, I understand.
Did you drink
it right out of the bucket?
Oh, right out of the teat, man. It was good. It was fresh. It was whole.
Now, are we talking about your time on the farm or the strip club?
I'm a big fan of the Lucky Charms, man. And Lucky Charms are the best with whole milk. I mean, come on. Any cereal is best with whole milk. But I get it, man. You know, there's a lot of fat in whole milk, and I'm not getting any younger. To kind of, you know, take my milk intake down a little bit. But is this an issue that needs to be debated on the House floor right now? You know what I'm saying? This isn't the 1700s. You know, I mean, kids have a lot of caloric options, let's call it. And a lot of kids are taking up lots of options. There's a lot of, overweight children these days, and giving them fat milk isn't necessarily the best thing for them.
Dominic, the debate about allowing whole milk back in the school lunch programs, it was removed after studies showed low-fat and fat-free milk help reduce childhood obesity. You know, makes you fat, as I said. But anyways, Fox said that lawmakers shouldn't listen to the medical experts and scientists on the matter, you know, kind of like COVID.
Should not listen to them.
Should not. Scientists/experts designed the Titanic. Amateurs designed scientists. Experts built the Titanics, and amateurs built the Ark.
The Ark.
The Ark.
The Ark. The Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of like Moses' Ark.
Well, Dom, Republicans went on to imply that other forms of milk, like almond milk, soy milk, were communist beverage. They had a large poster board with the Chinese flag, with the cartoon and a picture of Xi Jinping.
I believe one of those congressmen was Tom Tiffany. Is that possible? I think it was
Nick from Madison. Don't drink that commie milk, man.
Hey, Nick.
Oh, that is Tom Tiffany.
I'm a whole milk guy, guys. But you know, my body, my choice. But I know real quick, since you were talking about before, it's the season. Someone with way too much time on their hands. Talking about the Santa Claus, and it said that if someone actually had to be Santa Claus, it would actually take about 3 billion years for him to finish. So it's basically an eternal hell. But anyway, I just hope you guys have a good holiday season, and Dom, Merry Festivus.
Hey, happy Merry Festivus to you too, Nick. Appreciate it. Well, I got a lot of problems with your people. Tomorrow we're going to tell you all about it.
We'll air the grievances. Maggie Dawn joining our show tomorrow. She's next. Thank you to our fine guest, Lorenzo Santos. And coming up a little bit later this evening, Dom, right here on WMDX, we've got Black Conversions with Brandy Grayson. And at WAUK 540 AM, the Beast of the East, we got Raised in the Wisco with our pal Joel Clayfish. However, I'll be watching the Badger game and then appearing on the Nightlight radio show with Pete Schwabba, 8:30. Tune in across the Civic Media Network. You'd hate to miss what Crudy's watching.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would be...
Pat! Come on!
And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Richard.